Togolese proverb says, a man who is accused of stealing goats would be very unwise to entertain visitors to his house with goat meat soup. And after a long, turbulent cat-and-mouse relationship, the Nigerian Football Association have fired Super Eagles coach Stephen Keshi again. And this time, it seems for good. Ever since the Pinnick Amaju-led NFA board were elected late last year, it was very evident that an uneasy truce existed between both parties that bordered on personal dislike. And after describing his contract as a slave contract, Keshi still had many chances to walk away, but against logic, he signed, and everyone waited for the inevitable catastrophe that has happened today. Welcome to Sports Planet, your premium news and magazine sports show. Today on the show, we will be talking about the sacking of Stephen Keshi by the Nigerian Football Association and what is the next move both for Keshi and the NFA. We'll also bring you World Football Watch as well as sports news from across the globe. My name is Tunde Koiki. We'll take a very short break and we'll be right back. It is no news that Stephen Keshi has been sacked by the Nigerian Football Association. The only surprise for many was that it took so long. Well, joining me now is Kayode Ogundare, Deputy Editor of International Soccer Magazine. Good evening, Kayode.
Good evening.
Well, the fact that Keshi has been sacked is not really the issue. The issue for a lot of people is actually the fact that it took the NFA so long to actually sack him.
Exactly. And I think it's coming 2 years too late.
2 years too late.
Yes.
So if I get you, you're saying that he should have been sacked in 2013.
After the Nations Cup. It is my considered opinion.
Okay, why do you say that?
Yeah, because immediately after the Nations Cup, the team practically stopped growing. Keshi stopped growing. You cannot tell me of a single player who has come into the team since the AFCON win that has added any value to the team. Not one. If you know it mentioned, I challenge you.
Maybe not now, but let's continue.
Not one. Okay. So that's why I thought Keshi had drawn his course after the Nations Cup. You should have allowed him to go. If he didn't take it upon himself to walk away, you should just let him go.
But he did walk away. Remember, he purportedly resigned in South Africa. He was begged by the presidency, by the minister to keep his job then. Then he took us to the Confederation Cup. But maybe what you should have said or what a lot of people felt was that he should have either resigned maybe after the World Cup where we didn't defeat France, or worst case scenario, the moment we failed to qualify for the last Nations Cup.
Exactly. Those were exit points that he could
that
have
he failed to take.
Yes, he could have resigned on any of those exit points. But for me, I still stick to the 2013 AFCON win. Because after the AFCON win, he purportedly resigned, like you said. And it was not a joke that he took too far. He used it and got away with it after the AFCON win. He did the same after the World Cup again. That, okay, I'm resigning. Then his media people started flying kites. Those were very, very childish. And it now boomerang. That's why I'm not sure two or three people will shed a tear for Keshi.
But Keshi himself, a lot of people have said Keshi himself is the architect of his own downfall. That this has been a long time in coming. Remember in the intro of the program, I did say something about how if a man is accused of stealing goats, he should not be the one serving his guests with goat meat pepper soup. Keshi himself, a lot of people felt that he more or less set himself up for failure by signing this, by failing to jump when he could have, when he was finally pushed, and also by signing a contract that he himself went on record as saying was a slave contract.
Then you ask yourself, what is the desperation about?
Well, how many jobs pay you $5 million a month?
No. Keshi's CV was enough to get him any job in Africa. Anyway, let me correct myself. Most jobs in Africa.
A lot of jobs in Africa.
So with that kind of CV, he could have walked into any job. He could have gone into club football coaching.
But he has never coached a club side before.
You start somewhere. Before he took the Mali job, the Togo job,
yes,
right?
Yeah, he had never coached a national team before.
So there's always the first time. You could have taken the club once. Now he failed to take it. And I think the most apt description of the situation was one tweet I saw on Twitter the other day that Keshi sacked himself. The NFF just signed this letter.
Mm.
That for me captured everything.
And speaking about the NFA themselves, you know, I think that they must also share part of the blame. It is on record, or well, it's very evident that they never liked Keshi at all. That is this particular NFA board that came in, that was late last year, November, I believe. So why did they not stand their ground at every point in time and insist that no, we will not sign this man because we honestly believe he's not the right man to lead Nigerian football? And if they were pushed, why didn't they resign en masse?
I think it speaks to, what you said now speaks to the conspiracy theorists who said Keshi had godfathers in high places. Mm. And when there is a change of government, the NFF felt this was the
right time
for them to be. Although I would hasten to say they also could have had to pay for it.
Yes.
Because if you are sacking a coach, you could have allowed him to walk away after his contract ran out, you refuse to let him.
Now
he has signed 2 months into that new contract. You are sacking him.
Mm.
What that tells me is that in a structured system, you could have been made to pay a huge compensation to Keshi, but then we'll never tell the terms of this contract.
Okay, so the question now is what do we do? It's very evident from the body language and what we've the few quotes that we've heard from the NFA in the past that they are more than willing to hire a foreign coach. Yeah. Is that the way Nigeria should go now, or is there anyone still within the borders of Nigeria? Is any Nigerian capable and competent enough to handle the Super Eagles?
Honestly, today this might come as a shock because
is not a shock.
You know where I stand. I have looked around and I've been in the game for a while. As a fan, I've followed it as a fan. I've been a writer,
a journalist,
all this. And I tell you, as it stands now, technically, I'm not sure we have coaches that can take us to the level where we desire to be. We could win the odd AFCON once in 5, 14, 15 years.
But do we want to remain big fishes in the local champions in Africa or global players?
That's the problem with our Falcons. Mm. That's the problem with the under-20.
And that's the problem with the Eagles itself.
That's the problem with the Eagles. So it's a generic thing. It's something that we need a total overhaul. And when I say we need a foreign coach, I'm saying this other advisement. We don't just bring a foreign coach because of the color of his skin.
Mm.
The foreign coach could be a Benoit. It could be a Togolese. It could be
an Egyptian.
It could be an Egyptian as long as he knows his onions.
Mm.
We just need somebody to take us out of where we are. And while we're still at it, we still need a mental change from the guys at the NFF too.
Mm.
They need to change around the way they do things, or else they should follow Keshi out of the door.
Okay. Kayo Dugunari, thank you so much for your time as always.
Thank you for having me.
Of the production crew here in our studios, my name is Tony Koiki, wishing you all a brilliant evening and asking you to believe
that the planets